Time for the Burning River Sportscast. It's also time for Thanksgiving, time for turkey and gravy and dressing. Unfortunately for the Browns, they found only themselves stuffed and deep fried on Sunday. 1 week until the return of Deshaun Watson, and there is dissension in the ranks and discord in the locker room. Despite a cornucopia of concern, we would all be most thankful if the Browns could squeak out a win against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, making what is likely his last pilgrimage to Cleveland. And we break it all down for you next on the Burning River Sportscast. It's about the most vanilla D. Vanilla D. I just hope he saved some placenta for me. Bakey. I can't talk. Save the more graphic search for your incognito tip. You know, as a parent on prom night, though, that's the one thing you gotta be concerned about is penetration. Welcome into the Burning River Sportscast, presented by Tappan Media. I'm Kenny Thunder, alongside, well, no one, because red-hot Ronnie Jams is on paternity leave after giving birth to his first offspring. I just hope he saved some placenta for me. Makes an excellent Thanksgiving treat. As a reminder, you can find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Pocket Cast, Castro, and more. So hopefully we'll be able to keep this short and sweet. I know many of you are probably on your way in tow to in-laws and other family for the Thanksgiving holiday, Thanksgiving weekend. So obviously, the Browns haven't given us a lot to be thankful about this year, but hopefully you can find solace in other aspects of your life. So with that, let's dive right into the Week 11 recap. All right, let's go ahead and dive into the week that was. And first, let's talk about the Buffalo Bills offense. So Josh Allen, who many had penciled in for a big performance against a weak Browns defense, didn't have a tremendously successful day. 18 of 27, 197, one touchdown, no picks. Three rushes for 7 yards. Where we got hurt a lot was in the running game. Devin Singletary, 18 carries, 86 yards, a touchdown, 2 catches, 11 yards. James Cook, 11 carries, 86 yards. So 2 running backs over 80 yards. Not good. Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, again, names that strike the fear into many opposing defense. Didn't have huge days for the most part, were held in check. Stephon Diggs, 4 catches, 48 yards and a touchdown. Gabe Davis, 5 catches, 68 yards. Dawson Knox had a nice day, 7 catches, 70 yards. Bills D overall, 1 sack, 1 turnover forced, the fumble. I say forced loosely. Jacoby kind of just dropped that one after the injury there, so we'll talk about that here in a moment. Matt Milano had a monster game, 12 tackles. He was everywhere. The defensive line didn't have a huge day in terms of numbers putting up sacks, but that defensive line was in the backfield creating penetration all day long, and it felt like they were all over Nick Chubb before literally every play. So, hats off to them. That defensive line played really well against what is generally respected as one of the better offensive lines in football in Cleveland. So that's all I have to say about the Bills. Let's go ahead and dive into the Cleveland Browns, starting with coaching. Mike Prefer, another blocked field goal. Nyheim Hines was looking dangerous returning, so we thought we would just keep kicking it to him. Wanted to take the gamble there. 2 onside kicks, no recoveries. That dude's still trash. Joe Woods. Look, I'm running out of things to say each week about Joe Woods. This defense can't stop the run. Gave up 171 rushing yards. Would have been 171. 79. I think Nyheim Hines had a carry in that game and walked backwards 8 yards. But gives up 171 yards, was James Woods' highest rushing yardage game on the season. And just really, really in James Woods. I called him James Woods. It's James Cook. Sorry, Dalvin Cook's little guy. but really just another really poor showing by a Joe Woods coached defense. They just are really bad. I don't know how this guy still has a job. Stefanik, as we like to call him here on the Burning River Sportscast. Man, just still no accountability on this team. None at all. Two really questionable decisions stick out to me after watching that game. The back-to-back quarterback sneaks, especially going empty on the fourth down, just didn't make a whole lot of sense, especially since third and short got stuffed. And that was a long fourth and short. It was more like a fourth and two than a fourth and one. I understand that Jacoby has a tremendous record with his quarterback sneaks, but certainly missing the center after Ethan Pochick got hurt was not ideal circumstance and not ideal for a quarterback sneak. So that stuck out to me as questionable. And then the other one was before the half, Stephon Diggs lined up in the backfield next to Josh Allen, and we thought, we don't like the look of that. Let's take a timeout, and we did. Want to make sure we're prepared for Stephon Diggs. And on the ensuing play, dude runs totally uncovered into the end zone. Third, I know I said two, but third, Nick Chubb had 14 carries. So not enough. The record holds. When Nick Chubb doesn't get 20 carries, we lose. When he gets 20 or more carries, we win. So Stefanski, look, this coaching staff in general has been poor all year. We've said it all year. This team has talent on this roster, and they continue to just waste time and talent all year long. That's enough about the coaches. Offense. Jacoby Brissett had probably his best game as a Brown. 28 of 41, 324 yards, 3 touchdowns. He did have the fumbled snap, but that was with a new center shortly after Pochick got hurt, and Hjelte Froholt came in, and Froholt's played quite a bit this year, often as an extra back, tight end type, or an extra guard almost in the backfield on shorted yardage situations. But we've also had some injuries this year across the defensive line, so it's not like this guy is not seasoned, but I don't know that he's a natural center. Was one of those really unfortunate timing circumstances where you have a new center come in and center quarterback exchange, right? Fundamentals. It's the stuff that all coaches work on all the time. And they were driving at that moment, felt like, hey, we had some momentum here. And then that snap was fumbled. So not good. But otherwise, Jacoby had a really, really nice day. Chubb was stuffed like a Thanksgiving turkey, 14 carries, 19 yards, got him involved a little bit in the passing game. That dude has underrated hands. I know that everyone wants to put Kareem Hunt in as a third down back, as your pass catching back, but Nick Chubb really does have underrated hands. He's just a complete back all around, but 3 catches, 48 yards there. Kareem Hunt, leading rusher on the day, 5 catches, 32 yards, 5 carries, 32 yards, 2 catches, 22 yards. DPJ, Peoples-Jones really has come on this year, and I think this is the type of year that we expected from him last year. I think he's solidified himself now as a solid number two, and I think that's what we were hoping to see out of him last year and just never quite got there. So maybe he just needed a little extra time to marinate, but 5 catches, 61 yards, and a touchdown on Sunday, was making acrobatic catches with guys covered, covering him, all over him, continues to be a lone bright spot on this Browns season. Harrison Bryant, 4 catches, 41 yards, had a really unfortunate it's not a drop in the end zone, but could not get his foot down against the back, against the baseline, back line of the end zone. Probably a more athletic tight end or an athletic receiver might have been able to have the body control to actually get that foot down. Harrison Bryant's just not that guy. He's a backup tight end. So tough catch for him, but one that if you're going to win against good football teams, you got to have. Farrell Brown also dropped an easier, more open catch in the end zone. I think either on that next play, actually, which wasn't good. I mean, again, you're playing a good football team, a team with a winning record, a team that is supposed to go deep in the playoffs in the AFC this year, a Super Bowl pick for many. If you're going to beat a team like that, you have to come down with those kinds of catches. And, you know, I know we're not supposed to question Stefanik's play calling, but Harrison Bryant, Farrell Brown are the guys we're going to in crunch time. I don't know. Offensive line did not look good in this one at all. One sack given up, which isn't terrible, but only 80 yards rushing between Big Ream, Chubb, and Jacoby scrambling a bit. Jed Wills is looking worse and worse by the day. Ethan Pochick went down early. Froholt stepped in. Yeah, we talked about the fact that he's played a good deal this year, but was certainly noticeable the drop-off, because that offensive line looked lost for most of the day. And to Jacoby's credit, did a good job of getting rid of the ball quickly, getting the ball out of his hands and finding the open guy. But that offensive line was having fits with Bill's defensive line. And I had a high school football coach that used to talk about, as a parent on prom night, that's the one thing you got to be concerned about is penetration. But the Bills D-line was penetrating all night and just could not get the running game going because there were people literally in the backfield all day long. Was pretty ugly. This defense, look, not a lot of good things going on here. Myles Garrett had a sack. So it's always good to see Josh Allen in the dirt, but Jadeveon Clowney continues to kind of be a non-factor. The interior of that defensive line continues to be a problem, and they can stop no one. I think JOK had 12 tackles coming back from an injury, so good to see that out of him. But outside of that, that interior of your defense, of your front seven, man, has not been impressive this year, and they literally cannot stop anyone from running the ball, which isn't good. I think if you looked at the taglines, the box score after the game, and you had that knowledge before the game, said Josh Allen's going to finish the game under 200 yards. Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs are going to combine for 9 catches and 116 yards and 1 touchdown, you'd probably feel pretty good about your chances. Hell, I would even throw just Josh Allen's stats against Jacoby's for the day. 324 yards, 3 touchdowns. You would expect those numbers to be reversed. But alas, the Browns could not stop the Bills in any way, shape, or form. Special teams, Cade York, 1-for-2 on field goals, had one blocked, 2-for-2 on extra points. On the other side, Tyler Bass had a career day, 6-for-6. Jerome Ford back returning kicks this week, looked all right. Nyheim Hines looked like he could break one at any time, averaged over 18 yards per punt return. And we said, let's just keep kicking it to that guy. Makes sense. Overall, total yards, Browns 396, Bills 357. Time of possession, Browns 31 minutes, 22 seconds. Bills 28-38. Look, early on in this game, the Browns controlled the momentum. They controlled this game. It was looking like a game that they very easily could win. I think if we were going to hand out awards for games that were 5 minutes long, Stefanik, he would win that trophy every time. Those first drives of games are things of beauty. Unfortunately, it all falls off after that. Browns win, you know, the stat battle for the day, but lose the game. Same shit, different day. This team just has ultimately way too much talent to be 3-7. And there was a lot of talk and a lot of expectation around playoffs. Can this team, is this team good enough without Deshaun Watson that they can hold the fort down until he gets back? And I think many people expected that. And that's just not even in the realm of feasibility at this point. You know, playoffs? Are you kidding me? Playoffs? Locker room continues to be a mess. No surprises here. Miles calling out effort and focus all week in practice. Grant Delpit calling out the coaching staff, basically saying no one knows what they are supposed to do. And this is an interesting take because Joe Woods is not known for exotic defenses and multiple blitz packages. There's very few looks. There's no pre-snap motion. It's about the most vanilla D. Vanilla D, you can imagine, and they still can't figure it out. So, you know, not good when your players are calling out coaches. Look, I've been saying for weeks, Stefanski needs to give up play calling and focus on the other phases of the game. You know, they're not losing because of the offense, but there is no attention or focus on defense or special teams, and that's a real problem. It's an abdication of duty by Stefanski. And it's not like the offense has been that good that you would say, yeah, we don't need an offense or a defense or a special teams. You know, I think here's the really scary thing for me is at this point, how much better does Deshaun make you, in all honesty? You know, we've said all year the offense is playing well enough to win games. And you know, maybe there's some more running room for Nick Chubb because defenders have to respect a stronger passing game. Maybe. So they can't stack eight guys in the box as often. But come on, it's not like Jacoby has played bad. So I am fearful that this long wait that we've all gone through, expecting this to be the unassailable difference and the thing that turns this season around, is just not going to fix much. Deshaun's not making the defense better, and he certainly isn't fixing Mike Prefer's broken toys. I mean, hell, no one can fix that. So, and if he can't elevate the team, like, what are we left with? What are we left with? Three wins. We have three wins with what was supposed to be one of the most talented rosters in the NFL this year. Mike Tomlin and the rebuilding Steelers have three wins with two different shitty quarterbacks. The Carolina Panthers fired head coach, traded their best player, and about to start their third quarterback on the season this week when Sam Darnold plays. They have three wins. Josh McDaniels and the dumpster fire that is the Las Vegas Raiders, who we literally joke about getting fired every week, has three wins. Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence and Christian Kirk as their top offensive weapon have three wins. The New Orleans Saints with the red hot combo of Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton at quarterback have four wins. The Detroit Lions with Jared Goff, the guy that they've ran out of L.A. because you can't win with him. They have four wins. The Indianapolis Colts fired their head coach, made a perceived mockery of a head coach hire, and have started Sam Ellinger in a game this year. They have four wins. Marcus Mariota and a backfield of backups have five wins on the year. Riverboat Ron and the deadly duo of Wentz and Heinicke have six. Geno Smith was left for dead, and the Seahawks have six wins. The Patriots behind Bailey Zappi and Mac Jones have six wins. The goddamn Jets are starting Joe Flacco and Zach Wilson. They've won six games, starting those two guys. The New York Giants, a seven-win team with Daniel Jones. Tell me which one of these teams has more talent on their roster than the Cleveland Browns. Which one of these teams had higher expectations coming into this year? Which one of these teams would you have rather been in August? I mean, maybe the Raiders are the only other truly significant disappointment here. Like, which one of these teams has had better, more consistent quarterback play all year long than the Cleveland Browns? I'm going to have a stroke. This roster was talked about as literally one of the best in the NFL, strong enough to weather the storm until Deshaun returned. And there are fundamental problems here. Top-down problems here. And sadly, Deshaun Watson is just not going to fix that. Other Browns notes. Dakota Allen signed by the Broncos this week off of our practice squad. Did play in a handful of games this year. Greg Mantz was signed to fill in for Ethan Pochick, who has been moved to the IR with a knee injury sustained Sunday. Don't know a lot about Greg Mantz. He started, looks like, 32 games in 7 years. So, smart veteran move to bring a guy like that in. Also, some asshat turf to the Browns field this week, and they're hoping to get that repaired before Sunday's game. And then Joe Thomas included in the first round, the semifinal round of finalists for the Hall of Fame this year. So congrats to Big Joe. So again, the Browns give us nothing to be excited or happy about. Week to week, they continue to be a travesty on defense. The offense continues to be pretty efficient to good. And we are now 1 week away from the return of Deshaun Watson. So with that being said, let's get into the Burning River Sportscast Dog of the Week. I can't bark like Ronnie, but woof, woof. All right, Burning River Sportscast Dog of the Week, Amari Cooper, 8 catches, 113 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Just a really strong performance by Amari. He continues to show every week why they went out and got him in the offseason. He's a true number one receiver. He's looked really good playing the part most every game this year. And just super excited to have him. You know, I think the interesting thing is there's a lot been made about the chemistry that Jacoby and Amari have together. And they even mentioned it on Sunday that we're talking about just those two guys and how they share film and clips and things during the week when they're not in the practice facility. I think it's going to be really interesting. And let's hope that he can forge the same kind of relationship with Deshaun, because he's had a really, really nice year to this point, to the midpoint. So, Amari Cooper, excellent, excellent week. Hopefully we see some more of that this week against the Buccaneers. So, Amari Cooper, the Burning River Sportscast Dog of the Week. Let's go ahead and get into the division roundup. Roundup. All right, so Browns obviously lost to the Bills. Ronnie and I, Ronnie went with the Bills and I went with the Browns foolishly, so there's that. Baltimore beats Baker and the boys 13-3. We both picked Baltimore. Baltimore now 7-3 and in the driver's seat in the division. Real quarterback clinic in this one. Lamar Jackson, 24 of 33, 209 yards and 1 interception. Baker, 21 of 33, 196 and 2 interceptions. And Baker will be replaced by Sam Darnold this week. This game was close throughout the day and pretty ugly. Baltimore did score 10 unanswered in the fourth quarter to finish off our friend Baker. Cincinnati beat the Steelers 37-30. We both picked this game right. Cincinnati 6-4. Pittsburgh 3-7. 3-7 tied with us. Yeah, that's right. We're tied for last place in the division in a year that we were expected to go at least to make the playoffs. This game was closer than I think people anticipated. Joey B coughed it up a couple of times. Kenny Pickett threw no pickets. Najee rushed for 90 yards and two touchdowns. You know, Pittsburgh's a different football team when TJ Watt is on the field. Quite honestly, they may find themselves with a better record than the Browns by year end, which pains me. Pains me to say. All right, let's go ahead and take a trip around the NFL. Doing a lot of talking here without Ronnie. Need more water. All right, let's get into around the NFL. Jeff Saturday almost steals one from the 8-1 Eagles, and the Eagles celebrate like they've just won the Super Bowl. I think this game did two things. One, Eagles are now 9-1, look like a lock for a first-round bye. Obviously, it's still pretty early in the season. Things can change, but you know, outside of the slip-up against the Commanders, this team is playing really good football. And the other thing I think, though, is it puts some respect on Jeff Saturday's name. We talked last week in depth about, our thoughts on the hire, but clearly there is a massive, massive belief or perception out there that Jeff Saturday is in way over his head. And this was a silly hire that a more qualified coach would do better. But they took these guys to the brink. So I think it's definitely put some respect on Jeff Saturday's name after almost taking down what is probably the best team in the NFL. They are the best team in the NFL to this point in the season, right? They're 9-1. So, good on both of them. The Jets are 6-4, the goddamn Jets. But all is not good with gangrene. First off, on Sunday at Gillette Stadium, they experienced a power outage that delayed the start of the game. And in keeping with the theme of the day, the Jets offense also experienced a power outage as they averaged just 2.77 inches. I'll say that again. They averaged 2.77 inches per play in the second half. Not good. After the loss in what was just a terrible, ugly, awful game to watch, players were complaining that Zach Wilson is walking around like he isn't the problem, and it's clearly been rubbing teammates the wrong way. When asked if the offense let the team down on Sunday, Zach Wilson replied simply, "No. No." Wilson went 9-22 for 77 yards. And whilst Mac Jones outdueled him on the scoreboard, the Patriots' only touchdown came on special teams. Jets head coach Robert Saleh called his team's outing dog shit and was noncommittal about Zach's future as the starter, saying all options are on the table moving forward, and finally made the call that Mike White will be named starter for this week's game. In Denver, with a struggling Russell Wilson, embattled first-year head coach Nathaniel Hackett gave up play-calling duties this week in what was maybe one of the worst matchups of the year, the Broncos and Raiders. And it's strange because it was one of those that people had expectations for the Raiders and for the Broncos this year. But to no avail. And the Raiders were able to steal this one. And Hackett is looking more and more like a one-and-doner. Also of note, the Broncos have now lost 3 overtime games this year, which is tied for the most in a single season. Excellent job. Excellent investment. Russell Wilson officially has more bathrooms in his new house than he does touchdown passes, so that's good. Once wide receiver turned running back, Cordarrelle Patterson returned to kickoff 103 yards for his 9th return touchdown. He was tied with Leon Washington and Cleveland's own Kent State alum Joshua Cribbs at 8, but now has the record all to himself. So they got that going for him. There's not a lot going for Atlanta, but they do have that. And finally, my favorite moment of the week, as part of, obviously, it's November, and November for the NFL is Salute to Service Month. And as a part of the Vikings Salute to Service celebration, the Skol Salute to Service, they asked fans to share stories and photos of loved ones in the armed forces, and then they put them up on the Jumbotron. Very, very touching. But then this photo appeared. You'll have to watch the video version for the images. This photo appeared, and if you recognize this man, you're probably on Santa's naughty list this year, because this is the man with 1,000 jobs, cop, firefighter, teacher. That's right, Johnny Sins, baby. The post alluded to him being a huge Vikings fan. Catch the double entendre there. And while some may regard this man as a hero, he is definitely not anything but an adult film star who has become one of the hottest memes around. And if you go to Google this man, might I suggest trying his TikTok, where his work is much more PG in accordance with the platform guidelines. Save the more graphic search for your incognito tab. Also, RIP to the Jumbotron media guy or gal who was probably given a strong lesson on content screening, if they are still employed. Honest mistake. That's what I'm thinking, right? It has to be honest mistake. Or was it? All right, that's it for our Week 11 coverage. Let's take a quick revenue break, and we'll get into Week 12. Towpath Distillery, the newest craft distillery in Northeast Ohio, located in Akron and family-owned. Towpath Distillery focuses on high-quality spirits carefully made in small batches. Towpath's lineup includes an ultra-smooth, award-winning premium vodka, a small-batch silver rum made from the highest-grade molasses, an American craft gin made with 9 botanicals, and a blended straight bourbon made from corn and rye. Towpath Distillery. Visit towpathdistillery.com to find an agency near you where the spirits are available, and make sure to ask your local bartender and restaurateur. Towpath Distillery. Handcrafted, small batch, local, and family owned. Get some. All right, let's jump right into the Week 12 preview. All right, so we do have Tampa Bay and Tom Brady coming to town to play on our recently turfed field. Buccaneers coming off of a bye, getting healthy. And the GOAT, Tom Brady, has not lost a game since he has cut ties with the beautiful Giselle. Much has been talked about the Bucs' slow start, but despite the noise, Tom Brady is still ranked fourth overall in the league in passing, with the Bucs giving up 4.5 yards per carry. Nick Chubb versus the Tampa Bay defensive line is the matchup I have this week. Matchup of the week. I need a cool sounder for that. Do we have one? That'll work. So this is a game I think that sets up well for the Browns, as the Bucs have consistently just been slow starters, slow to start the game this season. And then kind of come on late with a Flurry and Fury and lots of other F words. If they can get out to an early lead, pound the rock, and keep Tom Brady off the field, there's a small chance they pull this off this week. The question is for what, though? You're 3-7. Does anyone on this team even care? You know, listening to the locker room talk this week, it all sounds like they've all kind of mailed it in and are just waiting for Deshaun Watson to come save them. You know, the playoffs out of reach, dysfunction everywhere you look. So it's hard to tell how much these guys truly care. I can tell you this. I still care. I know Ronnie still cares. And I think it's in these moments that a man's character is displayed, their true character, when you're playing for nothing but pride and the name on the front of your jersey. And that's when we see your true colors. So pay close attention to this week, dear reader, because win or lose may not matter nearly as much as what we might learn about this football team. And it's all I got to say about that. Let's take a quick look at the injury report. All right, Wyatt Teller, David Njoku, JOK all returned this week. And Njoku even hurdled a guy, so that's good. So hopefully those guys continue to get better. I know Wyatt's still battling the calf. And Njoku said that he really wasn't at 100%. But again, hurdled a guy. And JOK had 12 tackles. So hopefully those guys all continue to stay in good health. Questionable right now, Perrion Winfrey, D'Anthony Bell, and Greg Newsome. And as we talked a little bit about earlier, Ethan Pochick, who has been an outstanding addition to the offensive line this year, will miss several weeks and has been moved to the IR. So, you know, thankfully, not a ton of significant injuries there. Who's my player to watch this week, Ronnie? I don't know, Kenny. I'll tell you. Vita Vea, fifth-year pro, 6'4", 347 pounds. This dude is well-fed and can be a monster to deal with up front. And as bad as our offensive line played last week, with center now a question mark, I think this matchup could swing the game one way or the other. They're going to have their hands full. It's going to be a combination of you know, pulls and double teams trying to deal with this guy. You know, this Buccaneers defense is pretty good. So we'll see. But I believe strongly that Vita Vea could be one of those guys that leaves his mark on the game. All right. Let's go ahead and jump into King of the North. Okay. Every week, this is Ronnie's favorite part, the reminder of our tally. Ronnie went 3-0 last week. I went 2-1. Ronnie is 22-12 now on the season. You, Kenny, that's me. I'm now 18-16. So still clawing my way back. We still need suggestions on what's going to happen to Ronnie when he eventually loses the season-long tally. Because it certainly won't be me. And with that, let's take a look at our predictions for this week. Baltimore at Jacksonville. I'm going to go Baltimore in this one. 7-3 in the driver's seat in the division. Trevor Lawrence not playing great. Don't have the weapons on that team to compete with Baltimore at this point. So that defense is gaining momentum and playing better. And Lamar Jackson has fallen off a little bit in terms of performance, but is still the superior quarterback in this one. Ronnie also picks Baltimore. Cincinnati at Tennessee. This is an interesting one for me. But I'm ultimately going to go with Tennessee. I think this game sets up a lot like our game against Cincinnati, in that Derrick Henry can run the rock. And in Tennessee, Mike Vrabel is not afraid to run the rock. He's not afraid to give the ball to Derrick Henry 20, 25, 30 times in a game to win. And I think that's what he'll do. I think there's a blueprint out there for how to victimize this team. Still just not a believer in Cincinnati at this point as cream of the crop. And Tennessee's a well-coached football team. They're a well-coached football team. And I think Tannehill's, you know, back, getting healthy. I think that this is a team that tends to peak at the right time. At least during the regular season. They haven't done a whole lot in the playoffs the last couple of years. But I think that this team understands how to win late in the year. And I just don't think Cincinnati has the horses. At least they don't have the momentum that they did this time last year. Ronnie is going with Cincinnati. So hopefully they lose. Pittsburgh at Indy on Monday Night Football. Look, I'm a believer in Jeff Saturday at this point. you know, I don't know. You know, I think Matt Ryan is still slated to start out there, have a good running game. And Pittsburgh is trash. So I'm going to go Pittsburgh. I'm going Indianapolis. Ronnie is picking Pittsburgh. Ronnie, who all year long has reminded me of the time that I picked Pittsburgh to win and they lost. He's decided this week is the AFC North's premier week. They're all going to win. So Ronnie's going Pittsburgh against Indy on Monday night. Bucks at Browns. Ronnie's picking the Bucks. I don't know what his thoughts are on it, but my thoughts are this. This team has underachieved all year long, and there are some matchups in this game that we can absolutely exploit, but this team looks lost. They look disheveled. They look like they don't care. They sound like they're waiting for Deshaun to come back. And you know, every week for the last several weeks has been a must-win game for them, and that hasn't seemed to matter. The one time that it mattered was on Monday night because they didn't want to look foolish on national TV. But outside of that game, this team, it's not even questionable to like, hey, will the real Cleveland Browns stand up? This team is just an utter disappointment. And I'm not picking against Tom Brady. So Tom Brady and the Bucks win. And that is King of the North. All right, let's jump into one more quick revenue break. Towpath Vodka. Towpath Vodka is an ultra-premium, extremely smooth, high-quality vodka. 6 times distilled and made from Midwest corn and Ohio fruit. Clean and crisp. Towpath Vodka is a truly high-quality spirit made right here in Northeast Ohio. Towpath Vodka. Midwest corn and Ohio fruit. The best kinds. Love that Towpath Vodka. For the land! All right, the Cavs ended their 5-game skid and have now won 3 in a row. Kevin Love's got a hairline fracture, but looks like he'll be able to play through that. Mitchell and Garland continue to sizzle. Players continue to step up. You know, they've looked good since they've righted the ship a little bit. And look, here's the thing. If you ain't watching the Cavs yet, you should be. And that's all there is to say about that. All right. I told you at the top we were going to keep this short and sweet as my first solo venture. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this guy up. What to expect next week? What do we expect next week, Kenny? We're going to recap the Browns and the Buccaneers game. And my friend Ronnie Jams, should be back in the seat next to me. And then we will do a Deshaun Watson preview. I mean, the Browns-Texans preview. And all will be well in Cleveland. So, That's it as we wrap up here. Social media pages, follow us at Tappan Media on Facebook and Twitter, at the Tappan Media, Instagram, at Tappan Media Official. And follow the Burning River Sportscast on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Burning River Sportscast, and Twitter, and Twitter, Elon's Twitter, at Burning River Pod. And don't forget, you can find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Pocket Cast, Castro, and more. Before we leave, before we go, I do want to just take a quick moment to remember Jason David Frank, the GOAT, the Green Ranger. This dude was my idol growing up. Tommy, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, White Ranger in the movie, the first movie that came out. I remember going to see that in the theaters with my dad when I was little. But this guy was just the best Power Ranger, period. Certainly enhanced my childhood. I know that he has been a part of the Power Rangers franchise for a long time. I think he's played the Red Ranger at times. He's played a Black Ranger. He's done Power Rangers in space and all over the world. I know he was a constant fixture at Comic Cons and all those types of events. So we'll be sorely missed. This dude had a dagger. There was a flute that sounded like a synthesizer that was trying to be a trumpet, and played it through his helmet. It doesn't get much cooler than that. He had his own Megazord that crawled out of the ocean to fight bad guys. That was my first Halloween costume that I got to truly choose, was to be the Green Ranger. And my mom's friend put this thing together just out of green felt. I don't even know how she did that. But it looked just like the real thing, had the little golden shoulder plates and everything. Made a thing out of felt. Wild. But seriously, truly a tragedy. Reports are this was a suicide. If you or someone you know is struggling, please reach out to 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK. 8255, not a paid advertisement. Just feel it's important to take time to make sure people know there are resources available. There's a ton of great resources out there. Heck, I'll be a resource. Ronnie will be a resource. DM us. We'll help in any way that we can. Don't be afraid to reach out and say, I need help. 1-800-273-TALK. Free confidential support 24/7. Jason David Frank. Okay, that's it, fam. My first solo show. So wherever you are listening to this podcast, whether you are at home getting ready to watch football, on your way to your in-laws, don't bicker too much. Let's not talk any politics this year. If you're listening to this on Thanksgiving, enjoy the games today. Enjoy the games this weekend. Enjoy a beer, some turkey, some stuffing, some gravy. Take a nap. And don't forget to set your fantasy lineups. Like, there's three games on Thanksgiving Day. So I wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. Not too many problems here with my first solo show. But remember, don't just be a part of the problem. Be the whole dang problem. Burning River. It's not quite the same when Ronnie's not here to yell at me. Burning River. Burning River. Burning River. Back at you next week, fam.